Hi, this is Mark Jenkins. It's my pleasure to share with you this message entitled Acknowledging His Love. This is the second message in this series in which we're exploring the love of God for us. If you're like me, your focus of attention has always been on your love for God and hardly any acknowledging of His love for you. I'm finding out that by acknowledging His love for me, I am becoming much more inclined to love others as He has loved me. I hope that you enjoy this message. Father, I recognize and I appreciate that love, and it is developing in me, and I pray that it is developing in every person that hears these messages. Your love in them, drawing them deeper to a deeper walk with You. Lord Jesus, hallelujah. Thank You for loving us. Thank You, Holy Ghost, for teaching us, for revealing truth to us. We pray that tonight that You'll teach us, that You'll show us the mysteries that are hidden in the Word of God. Come against the powers of darkness that would in any way attempt to bring distractions or disturbances. In Jesus' name, I arrest you. Heavenly Father, I believe that when this message is done, that we will be different. Thank You for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. And we began last week with the first in this series, and so this is going to be our second installment. And just a little bit of a recap, what we looked at were verses that refer to God's love towards us. I'm telling you what, I am seeing that for all of my life as a born-again child of God, that I have been trying to love Him, and I have missed the fact that He first loved me. I missed the fact that God loves me. And as this revelation of His love and receiving His love, walking in His love, appreciating His love, acknowledging His love, as this revelation is exploding in me, I am realizing that, I'm telling you, I missed it. Not that I was wrong in loving God, don't get me wrong, and we are supposed to love God, we should love God, but that I missed it in the fact that I never appreciated the fact that He first loved me. I'm not saved because I loved Him. I'm saved, and you're saved if you've received Jesus as Lord of your life, because He first loved us. And I'm seeing that there is a vertical relationship of me receiving His love that must first be established in a born-again believer is so vitally important that we learn how to receive the love of God in us. Because as we do this, as we learn to acknowledge His love for us, as we learn how to appreciate His love for us, it just makes me happy just talking about this. As we learn to do this, and His love is established in our lives, and the revelation of His love is established in us, here's what will happen. It will go horizontally. And that's where we love each other. Not with humanistic love. That's what I believe most of the church is trying to love their brother in, is humanistic love and not the love of God. Because why? Why can you say that, Mark? very simple. Just as guilty as I've been after 25 years of walking with Jesus, I have an idea that I'm not the only one, that most believers have neglected or just haven't even known to develop this relationship, this acknowledging of God's love for them. And here's what they've done, because this is what I've done. God, I love you. I love you. I worship you. And that's none of that's wrong. Please don't think that it is. But this has been my life up to this point. I love you, Father. I worship you. Me telling him I love him. Now, I was sharing this, talking about this whole revelation with a friend of mine earlier today. And he tried to put it in a different perspective that I felt like was probably pretty good perspective. He said, it's kind of like a person in an employment setting where they're the employee and they're working for their manager. And instead of being open to what the manager wants, being open to the leadership that comes from the manager, the employee tries to dictate to the manager how the manager is going to manage the employee. And I feel like that was a pretty good analogy for how the body of Christ has responded to God. We've basically told him through our actions, this is how you're going to respond to us, because we're going to worship you and love you, and you're going to receive it. And that's how I've done it for years and years and years. And he's blessed me as much as he could bless me. But the light is coming on, and I am starting to see that it really is not about me loving him first. It was him loving me. And what I need and what I'm receiving and what's developing in me is the revelation of his love for me. Now I know, to somebody that's just listening, maybe you just saw this video and you're turning it on and listening to it for the first time, you might say, well, I know God loves me. And the problem is that believers have a mental idea of God loving them. Yeah, I mean, if you'd asked me 5 years ago, does God love you? Oh, sure he does. But the heartfelt revelation where I have received his love wasn't there. It's getting there now. And I'm going to refer to the first message in this series, and the title of it is Because He First Loved Me. And that's taken from 1 John chapter 4. I edited that message last Saturday night. As I edited that message, God's love was so strong on me that I told Debbie I almost had to hold on to my chair from jumping up, running out the door, and finding a few people that had really hurt me, that I had allowed to hurt me. I had allowed them to hurt me. And the love of God had so swelled up inside of me after watching myself preach the first message in this series that I wanted to jump up, run out the door, find each one of those individuals, and just put my arms around them, love them, tell them that I love them. And I'll be honest with you. I hadn't been at that place until last Saturday night. And it as God is my witness, I got up from editing that video, and I told Debbie, I'm going to run to town and get something to eat for us. As I was leaving our neighborhood and I was driving towards town, I just had the idea, why don't you go to this other place? And it would have meant going in a different direction. So I thought, okay, I'll just go to that other place. So I went to the other place. I bought the food. I got back in the car. As I was driving home, I came to a stoplight. And I looked in my rear view mirror. And there sat one of the people that I had allowed to so hurt me. And I knew, because of what had already happened earlier in the afternoon, I knew what I needed to do. So I proceeded to go into this individual's neighborhood, and I drove by their house. They parked their car. They still hadn't recognized it was me. Drove up in front of their house, parked, got out of the car. They were walking to their front door, and I motioned to them. They came to the curb where I had parked. I got out of the car, and I put my arms around them, and I told them that I love them, and they told me that they love me. I'm telling you what the Holy Ghost is having me teach right here, this works. And this, I truly believe, is what so many Christians have missed, because we've been so busy telling God how much we love Him that we failed to receive and to acknowledge His love for us. And as I said before, as we receive this, as the revelation of His love for us develops inside of us, it's going to go horizontal. See, I had the misconception that this love going horizontal would be first initiated by me telling Him I love Him. I love you. And as I had said in the first message, I sat for hours telling God, I love you. I worship you. I praise you. And please don't misunderstand it. There's nothing at all wrong with that. We should do that. But I almost feel like I was putting the cart in front of the horse, because the first step really should be me having His love established in me. And by thanking Him, receiving, believing that I received this love and thanking Him for it. I'm telling you, for the last couple of weeks, here's what I do. Thank you, God, for loving me. Thank you. Thank you for loving me. I just thank Him for loving me. I thank you, Jesus, that you first loved me. And as I continue to do this, something's happening inside of me. Take it from somebody that has spent hour upon hour worshiping God, and now receiving His love, just receiving it. What I'm experiencing right now, it is, I'm reluctant to say it this way, but it seems like it far surpasses anything that I experienced when I spent the hours telling Him, I love you. I love you. I know those were wonderful times that I had with the Lord, but what I'm experiencing now as I receive His love for me, oh, it's so rich. there's a tangible presence. The other night, Debbie and I and a friend of ours, we were having a Bible study. And then at the end of it, we just began to thank Jesus for loving us. Just the three of us. I'm telling you, the presence of God manifested so strongly. To me, I was like, you could cut the atmosphere with a knife. His presence was there. It was just so rich. And I'm thinking to myself, how in the world did I miss this for so long? I mean, we can look at the verses and see throughout the New Testament the number of times that God's love for us is the highlighted point. Not my love for him, his love for me. How did we get so messed up to think that it was all about us loving him? Because the fact of the matter is, we couldn't have loved him. It would have been impossible for us to love him if he had not first loved us. So you tell me, which is more important? Which one should I be focused on? Shouldn't I be focused on his love for me? Because if it hadn't been for that, my love for him wouldn't have existed. It wouldn't. Hallelujah. Well, I want to go on and continue in this direction. We're going to see a couple of verses that are going to be the foundation verses for this series. Out of Ephesians chapter 2 and chapter 3 and then 1 John chapter 4. Let's look at the 1 John chapter 4 verse to begin with. And the one that in 1 John 4:19 is the verse. We love him because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. Had he not loved us, our love would never have existed for him. Because that love, again, it's not humanistic love. This is love that comes out of your reborn human spirit. This is love that you see in Galatians, the fruit of that reborn human spirit. What's the first fruit? Love. Love, joy, peace. Love is the first fruit. If it hadn't been for him loving me, him loving you individually. See, that's another important point. You know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. But it wasn't the world like this planet, and it wasn't everyone as a whole. It was each one of us individually. He loved me. Now, when I see him on the inside of me, hanging on that cross, you see, he's dying for me because of his great love for me. And the same thing for you. See, he died for each one of us individually. So we have to appreciate. We have to appreciate God's love for us individually. It's the reason why we have what we have. Glory to God. So go back over to Ephesians, if you will. This is the other verses in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. And remember, I really highlighted this. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. See, it was God. It was him that loved us when we were dead in sins. When Jesus died on that cross, there was not one single person born again. Nobody was. Nobody. And it was his great love for us, even when we were dead in sins. I'm telling you what, that just makes me want to raise my hands and just thank him for loving me. I mean, that was the whole motivation. How I ever came up with the idea that my love for him trumped his love for me, that's nuts. It's his love for me. That's what provoked him to hang on that cross. His love for me made my love for him possible. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And then over in Ephesians 3, this is where we see the prayer that Paul prayed, because as I mentioned in the first message, Paul recognized the necessity for us as believers to appreciate God's love for us. He saw that. He knew humanity is going to have a revelation of God's love. And so he said this to the Ephesians in a prayer for them. And the prayer begins in verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. There you see, he's gonna pray. Then we'll jump down, verse 18. May be able that, well, 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's how you get filled with all the fullness of God, by having this revelation of the love of God, the length, the breadth, the depth, the height, and realizing that there's no end to the height of God's love. It's never ending. The depth is never ending. The length, the breadth, it goes on forever, because God is love, and there's no end to God. So when you are focusing on God's love, you're focusing on God. And that's why his presence manifests. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? Hallelujah. So let's proceed tonight. And let's look at some verses relating to God's love for us and our love. We're going to begin tonight's lesson in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 15. This chapter begins, and we're not going to read starting in verse 1, but it begins by talking about Jesus being the true vine, and the Father, the husbandman, and the branches that are in the true vine. We want to pick up in verse 7, because that's where the topic of love really begins. Verse 7, if you, and this is Jesus speaking, it's red letters, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Now, look at verse 9. As the Father hath loved me. Now, let's just stop there. He's going to make a comparison. He used the word as. So his comparison is going to be, as the Father God loved Jesus, Now, how much do you think God the Father loved Jesus? Just an immeasurable amount. Okay? As the Father hath loved me, Jesus, so have I loved you. That's just too good. It's just too good. As the Father loved Jesus, Jesus has loved us. What can you say about that? That right there needs to become revelation in the heart of every believer. That right there is something that, and when I say a revelation, something that the Holy Ghost unlocks on the inside of us so that the truth that's within, that we can grasp this, that we can, that it's not just head knowledge. See, that's where I really feel like our problem has been, and me included. Is that we look at verses like this and it's head knowledge. Oh, thank God, God the Father loves Jesus and Jesus loves me as God the Father loves him. And glory to God. And you can tell when it's just head knowledge to somebody because they act like that instead of being at a loss for words. And just almost having your jaw drop open. See, now it's starting to really settle in on you what these words are truly saying. That God the Father loved Jesus, and with that same love, Jesus loved you, and he loved me. That's just so wonderful. There's no words to describe how wonderful that is. As the Father hath loved me, verse 9, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. Now, I want to go on here a little bit because I believe that this is how he continues here and what he's saying. It's going to show us how, first of all, the vertical receiving of God's love is first. That's first and foremost, that we vertically receive and acknowledge and have the revelation of God loving us. That's first. From that, the love goes horizontal, and that's what we're going to see here. That's what he's gonna point to. Verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Now verse 12, we're going to see his commandment. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. See, as I have loved you is the vertical. That's where we have the revelation of him loving us. And as that's established, then the love can go horizontal. We can love one another. See, here's what I truly believe we've tried to do. And without having the revelation of Jesus loves me, without having that, we've seen this commandment of loving our brother And we've tried to love them, but we've loved them in a humanistic love. Once the revelation of Him loving me is established, loving other people is not a problem. Because you're not loving them with humanistic love. The love is the love that comes out of your reborn human spirit. It loves people even when they hurt you. I'll give you an example. In the book of Acts, you see Stephen. You see him as he's waiting tables, but still ministering the gospel and preached this message. And what did the people do? They picked up rocks and they're going to throw them at him to stone him to death. Well, this came to me Thursday or Saturday night when all of this was transpiring and I was finding this individual and telling them that I love them. This came to me that Stephen, when he said, "Father, don't hold this to their charge," he wasn't working up something. This wasn't humanistic love. This was the love that comes out of the reborn human spirit from a heart that's established in the truth that God loves me and I love others out of that place of love. So when those people are stoning him, what's coming out of him is love for them. Now, I don't know if you've ever been hit in the head with a rock, but the first thought in your mind is, if you're just thinking in a humanistic way, is not, "Gee, I just love you so much for hitting me with that rock." See, that's not it. I mean, you're looking for a rock to throw back at him. That wasn't how Stephen dealt with this, because it was from that place of love that had been established because he had received the love of Christ in his heart and had the revelation that God loves me. He loves me. And from that place, if he would have had the opportunity, this is what just became so real to me Saturday night. If Stephen would have had the opportunity and he could have said, "Just hang on just for a second, and then you can continue stoning me here, just wait a minute," walked over to the people with the rocks in their hands, he would have wrapped his arms around them and loved them. Now, you think, that's not possible. It's because you're thinking with humanistic love. See, this is love from another world. This is love that loves people that hurt them, that loves people no matter what they do to them. Because it originates in God, and then through our reborn human spirit, we're able to be like a funnel that His love, the love of God is flowing through us to other people. This is what will draw people to Jesus. And Jesus said, "This is my commandment." You notice he had said previously in verse 10, if you keep my commandments, plural, then he said in verse 12, "This is my commandment," singular. I have one commandment. One commandment. And this is the one commandment that I have, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. See, in this, in the new covenant that we've been born into, the Ten Commandments have been fulfilled in this commandment that we love. First, we love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and all of our strength. We love our neighbor as ourself. His commandment is love It's the commandment of love. If we love our neighbor, we're not going to commit adultery with our neighbor's wife. We're not going to steal from our neighbor. We're not going to lie. We're definitely not going to have other gods before the one true God that we have love for and whose love is established in us. See, the commandment in this new covenant is the commandment of love. And that's why we don't have to run around and try and, I want to say this kindly, but promote the Ten Commandments. We have the commandment of love that really, truly supersedes the Ten Commandments. How can you say that, Mark? When Israel received the Ten Commandments, they did not have the ability to truly love the way we do. Why do you say that, Mark? They didn't have a reborn human spirit as we have. We love. The love that's in us in that reborn human spirit is the God kind of love. Israel didn't have that. So Israel had to be told, don't do this, don't do that. They were spiritually dead. They didn't know what was right. They didn't know what was wrong. We know because we have God's love shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. We know what's right and wrong. We have a new nature. We have been born again, the children of God, with the nature given to us by our Father. And the commandment that He has given to us is the commandment of love, but not humanistic love. And it's not love that you're going to work up for somebody. It's love that first you receive from Him. You acknowledge His love for you. And how do you do it? Well, this is how I've been doing it. Thank you for loving me. Thank you. You first loved me. It all began with your loving me. Thank you for loving me. Hallelujah. I want to finish right here in John 15. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Hallelujah. Let's turn over. The next verses that I want to look at are going to be two chapters over. John chapter 17. Most of you are familiar with John 17. In John 17, Jesus is praying to the Father before He goes to the cross. Here we're going to see Him talking about the love that God has for Jesus, God the Father has for Jesus, and the love that God the Father has for us. It's just almost too good to believe. It's just that good. But we have to believe it. Thank you, Lord, for the revelation. Let's begin in verse 20. Now remember, He's praying this prayer. He's praying to the Father. Neither pray I for these alone, so these disciples right here with Him, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word. Well, you think about that. That would include us. You know, down the line, several years. But that would include us. Verse 21. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Now, hold on to your seats here on verse 22. and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." I'm going to stop right there. I want to interject this because this is just so good. The glory that the Father gave Jesus when he was born into this earth. What was that glory? We're in John. John talks about this glory in the very first chapter. Hold your place there in 17. Go back to chapter 1. And we're going to see the glory that John is referring to. In chapter 1, verse 14, "And the Word," see, the Word, that was God in heaven, the Word, "was made flesh," his name, Jesus, "and dwelt among us." Now look at these next words. "And we beheld his glory." What did we say back in John 17? John 17, verse 21, "that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them." What's that glory? "And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father." The glory of being the Son of God. That's the glory. That's the glory. Now look at 22 again in chapter 17. "And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them." We are sons of God. That's the glory. That is the glory that he gave to us. Glory to God. Do you think that God loves us? We're his sons. We're in his family. Hallelujah. Verse 23. I in them, and thou in me. See, he's still talking to the Father. "I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them." God the Father has loved them as thou hast loved me. God the Father has loved Jesus, has loved us as he loved Jesus. That, again, it's something that you have to just simply look at the words, acknowledge, "God, I believe your word. I believe this is true, that you love me as you have loved Jesus." And it can only be revealed to us by the Holy Ghost. It's only by revelation. It's certainly not something that your mind can comprehend. Something the Holy Ghost has to unlock to your spirit. And how you do that is by meditating on these words. Saying, "Jesus, how this can be, I don't know, but it is because your word says it is. Holy Ghost, please unlock this to my understanding, that my Father could love me with the same love that he loved Jesus." Oh. See, even saying that, I mean, for me right here, his presence, I can just feel his presence just by talking about that. Just by saying those words. He shows up. Again, talking about the love of God, you're talking about God because God is love. You can't talk about the love of God without talking about God because you're talking about Him. His love and Him are inseparable. Hallelujah. Well, let's go over to Romans. We'll look at Romans, a couple of verses in chapter 5, and then in chapter 8. Romans 5, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. Why does hope not make us ashamed? How can we have hope? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. That's why we have hope. That's where this hope comes from. See, if His love, if you have not given Him the opportunity to reveal this love in your heart, if you haven't spent time cultivating this revelation of love, I'm telling you, you're missing out, because it will affect your hope. It will affect your whole walk with the Lord. I'm telling you, when you begin to see how much He loves you, and the fact that He didn't withhold anything from us. See, this is the enemy. The devil doesn't want you to ever, ever see the love of your Father for you. Because when you see that, his lie, the enemy's lies, becomes much more obvious and much more difficult to believe. Unfortunately, so many of us are believing those lies. This love is being shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. I'm seeing the lies of the enemy, and I'm not listening to those lies. Hallelujah. But I'm seeing how much God loves me. And He loved me long before I even drew breath on this earth. He loved me. And His love for me made my love for Him even possible. Glory to God. Let's go on here. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, see, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, it's such a challenge for us to appreciate what those words are saying. That the God of the universe, who's always existed, who created this planet, created Adam, made him out of the dust of the earth, breathed His life into Adam, gave him this whole planet to be the steward over, and watched as his newly created man bowed his knee to the enemy of God, Satan. And for generations, man lived on this earth, spiritually dead, with very little thought towards God. And yet, God didn't give up on us. His love for us caused him to be willing to send Jesus into this earth. That the Word in heaven would step from heaven into this earth as a man and walk this earth, having the same challenges that we have. Here he was after the baptism of John, being led into the wilderness to fast 40 days and then to be tempted by Satan. Those temptations were real. All of this because of his great love for us. That God would be willing. We just can't hardly appreciate that. That he would be willing to do this for us. With the purest of the purest motivation. His love for us. And to suffer and die on that cross. To end the race of the first Adam. To rise from the dead, the last Adam, the beginning of a new race, a new species of being, that I could be born into this species of being as a son of God. How much does God love me? How much does he love you? I'm telling you. We have to allow the Holy Ghost to birth this revelation inside of us. Because then we can love each other. See, this is why loving each other has been such a challenge, because that the love of our Father for us, we haven't spent the time to cultivate that revelation, because we haven't let his Word develop and the Holy Ghost to birth this inside of us. But as it does, God's love will go horizontal through us. And we'll go looking for the people that hurt us to tell them that we love them. Because it's his love. It's the God kind of love. Hallelujah. Well, let's go to Romans 8 and we'll finish in Romans 8. I really hope this is blessing you, because it's blessing me. Can't hardly wait to edit this one. Romans 8. We want to look towards the end of the chapter. Beginning in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, as it's written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. This is how we are more than conquerors. Because of His great love for us. And the revelation of His love. It's how we will experience the things that He just mentioned here. And not be in bitterness and not be in strife and not want revenge. See, His love doesn't seek its own. I mean, just look at 1 Corinthians 13 and you can see love in action. You can see the definition of God's love right there. When you're done wrong, if it's God's love that's developed in you and that's flowing through you, you're not looking for revenge. You're wanting to love that person. Glory to God. As verse 36, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height. Remember in Ephesians 3, the height, the depth. Look at this. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It won't be able to separate us. Nothing. See, we have to get this revelation of His great love for us that knows no boundaries. Because there are no boundaries from His love for me. Truly, the only boundaries are the boundaries that I will allow to be erected. For example, as I said earlier, where I had allowed people to hurt me. I'd allowed that to happen. And it caused something to be erected inside of me that had to come down. And love doesn't do that. The love of God looks to other people with love. And no matter what they're doing to us. So that's why we have to allow this to be developed in us. That's why we have to spend time letting the Holy Ghost cultivate this love, receiving His love for us. Thank You, Father, for Your love for me. Let's pray. Father, I pray that each person listening to this will spend time cultivating, thanking You, appreciating, focusing on Your love for them individually, as I am. And from that, a love is being cultivated that will go horizontal, to love their neighbor, to love those that hurt them. Hallelujah. Thank You, Father, for Your grace as this revelation of love, Your love in us, begins to unfold in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, this is Mark. I hope that you enjoyed that message. For more information about our ministry, you can write to us at Mark Jenkins Ministries, P.O. Box 701138, Tulsa, Oklahoma 74170. Or you can contact us via the internet at www.markjenkinsministries.org. Just look for the contact page. Thank you so much for listening to this message, and be blessed.